Each year we try, Sata Deshmaya, to take a look at a different one of the Alchets. This year we're going to take a look at an Alchet having to do with speech, which we spoke about 2 years ago, and some of the ideas will be similar and yet very different. The Alchet is in the letter Beis. Va'alchet shechatanu lefanecha bivitui satayim, and for the sin with the utterances of the lips. What are we asking forgiveness for? So we take a look at the art school Vidui in source number 1. We were too quick to promise or speak. We've uttered vows and oaths, although sages teach us best to avoid such utterances, even if they will be kept. We've expressed ourselves harshly against our fellows, hurting or shaming them, and we were dissatisfied with events. We even expressed complaints against Hashem. We have sinned because of hasty promises, Mechtav Eliyahu. We have made promises that we could not possibly keep, and we have made rash statements and then felt compelled to justify them or to act upon them. All right. Rav Meizlish, a little bit more detailed in his Vidui HaMeforan in source number 2. Let's take a look. B'nedarim v'shvuos, again, like the art scroll, with making promises and vows. B'vituyim kashim neged chaverav, speaking harsh things against our friends. U'batachat v'rim kalpei mala, and speaking harshly against Hashem. V'shipatach piv l'satan, and now he adds more details. Another example would be to be potea pivla satan, to say things that give the satan the ability to wage war against us. And then he goes on, and he's very detailed here. I just want to highlight some. Another aspect of bitui satayim is midaber bebeit haknesset, one who speaks in shul. Omer, I'm just doing the underline, divrei Torah shelo b'shem omram, you say words of Torah not in the name of those who said it, you don't quote it. Omer davara, you say bad things. Omer machara set davara zeve maskir lomar b'tzot Hashem, you say tomorrow I'll do this, and you don't say with Hashem's help. Motzi davar migunem mipi ve'no makem dvarav, you're not careful with the words that you say, that you just spit out whatever comes into your mind. Motzi Hashem Shemayim levatala, you say Hashem's name in vain. Mevarech mitpalo b'li kavana, you daven without kavana. Omer kamana avodah zara zeh, you say how pleasant this avodah zara is. So again, some of these ideas we have seen before, that the speech is one of the most common elements that's found in the Viduyim. And it repeats itself, because these are sins that we fall prey to at all times. And at the same time, there are things that are specific to Bitui Satayim that we're going to focus in on Mirtz Hashem, with meaning that Hashem gives us the ability to do this. The way we'll structure the shiur is we will take a look at Bitui Satayim in general, a broad overview of what this is about. And then, almost like a smorgasbord, like we do every year, we'll put out some of these ideas that we just mentioned. We'll just flesh them out. And each person will take that which is relevant to them, one idea, a few ideas, and allow that to be their focus. Right? Take notes on the side of your master. This is what one should have in mind when one says Vidui 10 times over Yontif, and it gives us a little bit of a focus in Bitui Satayim, as well as in all the areas of speech as well. There's a new sefer called Vidui by Rabbi Yossi Cohen, who's a very, very popular seminary teacher. And he notes in source number 3, he goes through all the Viduyim, and he says, the second of Al-Chet of the letter Beis, Bitui Satayim, relates to the utterance of our lips. It's incredible how many of the Al-Chets have to do with Ruach Memalala, the faculty of our speech, which defines us as human beings. This distinctly human capability is brought to judgment to determine whether we have used it properly or abused it. Every aspect of the Koach HaDibur is brought to deen, not only Lashon Hara. No fewer than 5 Al-Chet prompt us to examine our speech. 3 of those refer to lips. Bitui Svatayim, Tumas Svatayim, and Siach Sifsosenu. And it isn't easy to distinguish between them. They all concern the sataim, the lips, each one touching upon a different aspect of inappropriate speech. Bitui sataim knows talking just with one's lips, as it were, without thinking, blurting out words without one's brain being engaged, which we know. I can't believe I just said that. We just speak without really thinking. That's the bitui sataim. And we know we do a lot of harm and damage by saying things that we didn't really think through. Insincere talk in Hebrew is referred to as minasafa v'lachutz, from the lips outward. Thus here, mindless chatter is particularly associated with the lips. Now, it's important to bear in mind the Maharal's warning that for better or for worse, our speech always reveals our nister, that which we keep concealed inside of us, in which respect it differs from all the other five senses. We can only see that which is outside of us. We can only hear noises that are outside us. We taste, touch, and smell in response to external stimuli. Speech, though, isn't a response to our surroundings, even when we're responding to another person. What we say and how we say it originates within us, and thus reveals much of what we're thinking and feeling. Only if we have spoken can another person know what we think. Speech always reveals our pnim, for better or worse. And then he brings an observation in source 4 for Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, which is absolutely stupendous, and it's worth sharing. Mipsari echoz elokai. From my flesh I perceive you, God. That's a pasuk in Iyo, which means you take a look at a person and you see the grandeur of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Classic. Rav Moshe Shapiro adds something very fascinating. He says, we know that Hashem made two barriers before we speak. The teeth, which are hard, and the lips, which are soft. The lips are thus the final barrier before speech emanates from a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings such that although their external skin color can vary, the inner lining of every human being is red. No matter what the pigmentation of a patient's skin, a dentist staring to the mouth always sees the red lining. If a person cuts themselves, they see the same exposed tissue as being red. Right? Everyone's blood is red. There is, however, one part of the human body whose exterior is the same color as the body's internal lining. And that is the lips, which are red in every human being. You ever thought about that? I never did until I read this. It's like, wow, this is godless. This serves as a reminder. Before opening that last shower, that final gate in order to speak, before the words start tumbling out of our mouth, our lips remind us that we're about to be megalar pnim and reveal what is inside of us. Don't make a fool of yourself. Think before and while you speak, so that you express yourself in a way that does justice to your real self. Don't misuse the Kaddish Baruch Hu's gifts. Remember that the last barrier is the very same color as the inner world, as the pnim. We reveal who we are through our speech, and hence we have to be so careful with what comes out of our mouths. And hence we can appreciate in Source 5, continues Rav Cohn, in the Sfas Emes, which speaks about that the Aravos on Sukkos. We take two Aravos. We've got a little bit of Sukkos here and here. The two Aravos of Sfas Emes refer to, correspond symbolically to Moshe and Aaron. And we know that the Aravos represent the mouth. Why? Both Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen represents Vayidom Aaron, silence. And Moshe Rabbeinu is our Rabbeinu, is our teacher. That the lips, the Aravos, are two. We need to know when to talk and when to be silent. And this is an idea we've done many times in 6A of Rav Volpe Zatzal, where our speech is not just what we say, but it's really the expression of who we are. And when a child begins to talk, we don't only need to teach the child how to speak, right? Bottle, bottle, say mama, mama. Not only that, we have to teach the child how to be quiet, how to be silent. Because the child just says whatever comes to their mind, ba 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 ba, they're talking all day and they're chatterboxes. The real godless is not just how to speak, but how to curtail one's speech. How to hold back, to be able to have that filter, what is appropriate to say and what is not. We know this about kids. You know, you watch a kid play or interact, you know everything that's going on in the house. They just talk, 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 and they're they say whatever's on their mind. You're ugly, right? They'll just say that to your face, or this doesn't taste good, right? So an adult hopefully has a little bit more tact than that. A child needs to learn how to be able to use this gift of speech. It's a gift. Be able to use it sensitively. And hence, Ravolba speaks about in 6b that this is the greatness of a Talmud Chacham. He lishmur al koach hadibur shelo shiyeh kinor na'im. To be a beautiful kinor violin. Shediburo yuvateh b'diyuk et asher bilvavo. A musical instrument where the inner and outer are in sync. They resonate with each other. That we don't have even a word of pitui. Of a harp is a kinor. Not even a word of trying to flatter somebody or trying to gnevastast or to fool somebody. You are who you are in what you say, and it's so clear. That is bitui shfatayim, just as the overview. We have to be able to work on being able to recognize that our speech is a gift. Our speech is something that reflects the inner part of ourselves, and hence it has to be used and fine-tuned to the utmost degree. If that is the overview in general, now let's take a look at quite a number of examples that we saw between the Art School Vidui and Rav Meisel's Shefer Vidui and Meforat. And let's just lay out, like a smorgasbord on the table, many different aspects where we trip up in bitui shfatayim over the year, and whatever resonates with us that we need to focus in on, we need to gain apology for, we need to work on, so then we'll be able to highlight those areas that speak to us. So let's just give a couple of examples, and that's how we'll spend the hour with Hashem. So the first is Harash Derech, where again he speaks about there are more than 10 viduyim that have to do with the alchet of dibur, with just speech alone. And he says, alchet shechatanu en ei bevitu yitzvatayim, kos apasuk em mishle yesh bota b'madrekot cherev, v'lashon chachamim marpeh. And the Gra explains that v'lashonam cherev chada. Even when a filu drarim shetzarich lo omram, even if it's appropriate to say something, or one needs to say something, if they're said in a tzura charifa, like a sword that is a penetrating sword, that's an avera. And chachamim are very careful that their word should be refuah. It should bring marpeh. It should bring healing. Even if you're saying things that are allowed, how are you saying them? So Rav Weissblum Shlita brings really two aspects. One is the way I talk to people, even if what I'm saying needs to be said, how am I saying it? Am I saying it in a very caustic type of way? Am I saying it in a gentle type of way? If a person needs to be rebuked, if a person needs to be asked why they're doing what they're doing, how do I interact with people? How am I using speech? That's one aspect, and we'll talk about this in a minute. And the second aspect he mentions, is that when we speak, our speech has to be in a refined way, not with slang, not with using, you know, language of the street. And he speaks about the tumat shfatayim, which we mentioned earlier, which is also the lips, and bitui shfatayim are very much connected with nivul peh, speaking words that are inappropriate, that are just base type of words. Let's talk about both of these as one and two of our study today. First, how do I talk to people? This relates to another alchet, and as we've said, there are many overlapping alchets because these are things that unfortunately we fall into this trap, and that is what we've spoken about before on Onah, of not causing pain to another person. You shouldn't grieve his fellow. There's a prohibition, which verbally assaulting another Jew and causing him pain, anguish, embarrassment, or distress, anger, and fright. It also includes cheating somebody by lying to him, slandering his name, and all of these are aspects of both Ona'a as well as Bitui Shfatayim. When you say something to a person in a very mean, very, you know, digging type of way. Oh, really now? You think you're so great? You know, making comments like that, that hurt another person. These are part of Bitui Svatayim. And again, this is what we're getting at. Not only is it Ona, it's over many different aspects. Bitui Svatayim is, I don't think before I speak. I just, you know, just let it out. And I just, whatever comes from the mouth, as Rav Cohn pointed out. And that's where we have to be careful. Yes, it needs to be said, but how are we saying it? Basically, anything that you do to cause your fellow Jew, this is a sefer of Haftarecha Kamocha, love your neighbor. Any sort of physical discomfort, mental or emotional pain is included in Onas Dravim. And pretend you're making an innocent remark when your hidden intention is sinister will not make it less of a sin. You cannot fool Hashem. And as Rabbi Walters points out in the Making of a Mensch in Source Number 11, these are many examples. You should not chastise a person who's suffering by telling him his suffering is due to sin. One should not call another person by a nickname. One should not ask someone a question that the questioner knows he'll be unable to answer. And as the Sefer L'Reacha Kamocha brings in 12b so powerfully, the Chazon Ish wrote in one of his letters, Ma'od chovati lizaher ligrom ini mut livnei adam. I made it my business not to cause any ill will feeling with another person, even for a moment. It's even if every, you know, something that's a little bit uncomfortable may not be onas dvarim, just may be uncomfortable, maybe not so nice. Chazon Ish said, I stayed away from it like fire. We have to be so careful what we say. The speech has to be something that we think through. And again, we go back to Rav Freifeld, we've done this quite a number of times, speaking with responsibility. Many people just talk. They open their mouths and say whatever comes into their head, without thinking of the consequences of what they say. They inflict torture and pain. They get angry, they say this. They get upset, they say that. It doesn't occur to them that they have responsibility. A woman came to my house, she was brokenhearted. She had just moved into an apartment, invited her best friend in to come over. A friend comes in, looks around, and said, it's nice, but the rooms are so small. The woman was devastated. I don't understand. What was this friend thinking? Her best friend invited her to see her new apartment. That's a responsibility, a serious responsibility. The Gemara discusses what you're supposed to say when someone shows you a new thing they purchased. You're supposed to praise it even if it's a piece of junk. You're supposed to make people feel good. It's too late. They bought it already. So at least make them feel good about what they did. The woman moved into her apartment. She's living there. So why are you telling them that her rooms are small? Why say something that will make her feel bad? What's your sense of responsibility? Don't you realize that you're responsible for everything that you say? Speaking to another person in the arrow is a tremendous responsibility. You're responsible for how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your husband, how you speak to your children. The big tzaddikim knew this. It was amazing how they minded their speech, how their speech was refined like crystal clear spring water. Idea one for today is being able to be careful what we say, how we say it. And if you have a comment to make, make sure that the comment is in place. Ask yourself, is this appropriate to say? Is this the appropriate time to say it? Is this the appropriate way to say it? Be able to weigh one's words again, refined like crystal clear water. Wow. That has to be the model that we have, Bitui Svatayim, how careful we are when things come from our lips. If we take this a little bit further, the Haras Derech points out, why is it so important to have speech in such a refined way? It's because Hutsura Sa'adam, this is what reflects us. And as we spoke about, the outer speech is a reflection of who you are inside. And our speech, we know, the Ruach Memalala is what makes us special as human beings. It's what makes us unique as people. Therefore, if we want to become a person that's a distinguished person, that's a person of Tzura, that's a person of any value, of any stature, one needs to be careful with speech. Which brings us to the second aspect. If the first was how we speak to somebody, the second aspect that Aras Derech speaks about is what we say. And that is in terms of nivel peh, is saying things that are slang, saying things that are curse words, saying things that may or may not be curse words, but they're just inappropriate to say. We have to be so careful what comes out of our mouth. And the Harasteret continues in source number 16 and says, Aval nivol peh chet hazeh miyuchad lepeh, sheino said davar rak shemol si davar nivala. See, it's different than Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is bad. But Lashon Hara is, I'm affecting negativity on another person. So it's not just the words that I say, it's the impact that it has. Nivol peh doesn't necessarily have to have any impact. It's just the words I say. I could say this to myself. I could mutter this under my breath. And you'll say, well, nobody's affected. So what difference does it make what I say? And that's the chiddush for today. Of course it makes a difference, because it is taking the words, the inner self of Kedusha, of holiness, that we are endowed with, and we're misusing it, we're abusing it. And that's how, why we have to be so careful that everything that comes out of our mouth, even when we stub our toe, even when we're frustrated, we have to have this refinement of bitui satayim, of that which we blurt out of our mouth. Let's take a look for a few minutes about this, because sometimes we say things and that the words are just not as refined as they could be. Let's take a look at another sefer of Rav Meizlish. This is Sichot Bavarat Hashem. Let's take a look at a few of ideas. He speaks about in 17. Lashon Nekiyah, having pure speech. Ita b'zohar, Ashrei Yisrael Shekar Zbarchu Ratza Lo Kiro Tam Yoter Mikol Shar B'nei Olam. Zohar Kadosh says that Hashem wanted to show how beloved we are from all the other nations. So first he says, you'll be a Mamlechus Kohanim, you'll be kingdom of priests. And then he says, you'll be a Goy Kadosh, and you'll be a holy nation. And that wasn't enough. Hashem wanted to show us how much He loved us. He called us, you're an Am Kadoshata, you're a holy nation. And that wasn't enough. He called us, Vanshe Kodesh Tiyunli, you are a nation of holiness, people of holiness. What are all of these additional accolades adding? So the Kutzker Revi says, you know what Vanshe Kodesh Tiyunli means? It means that you should be a Menshelik Hedlik, a holy mensch. What does this mean? The klomar liyot mekdushim b'chol maaseh v'nagat b'nei adam. Everything we do should be with holiness. V'hainu, k'mo shebi'er sfasemes, which means that, like the sfasemes says, there's enough angels in heaven. God doesn't need us to be angels. He needs us to be able to take shekol inyaneu maitza adam, double squiggly in 18, all that we do, asher agilu lasot b'chayav regilim, that we do in our daily lives, v'chol diburav, and all of our speech, asher agilu ledaber b'chayei yom yom, mean that we say every day, our natural speech, you b'hidro b'mura b'kedusha, will be elevated. V'atem tiyu li'anshe kodesh. That's what it means to be an elevated type of person. And he quotes here in the Arrow, the Baal HaTanya, playing on what we say in L'chol Dodi, shamor v'zochor b'dibur echad, which is clearly talking about Shabbos. Lo Sase and the Asse, we're saying one breath. Baal HaTanya learns the following. Shamor v'zochor b'dibur echad. In every dibur, in every speech, have shamor v'zochor. Stop. Ask yourself, should I say this? Is this appropriate to say? Really think before that which comes out of your mouth, that everything should be kedoshim v'torim. It should be with holiness. And this is really the entirety of our mouths, where he brings here from the Sansa Rav that he wouldn't even say things that we don't even think twice of saying, like dog. Instead of saying kelev, he would spell it out. Kaf lamed beis, right? He would spell it out because he didn't even want to use the word dog on his lips. Now, I don't even think twice about using the word dog. I'm sure many of us don't even think twice about it because I'm not on a level of refinement. But a person on this level doesn't even want to mention maybe impure animals, different things of impurity. This is a person whose inner and outer, the sfatayim, are so aligned together. And this, my friends, is the godless of what we have to understand. We have to understand that everything we say is a reflection of who we are. And hence we have this idea in 19a, moving to the next page, that when you say something, a dibur of a tzaddik who's no longer alive, svatav dovo bakever, svatav na'ov dovo bakever, his lips move in the grave, because everything that he said was that of Kedusha, that it's as if he's continuing to talk. This is the level of holiness that certain people have reached, and this is the holy level of holiness that we need to try to reach. That wherever we say, we have to work on, and this is the Aser Simei Tshuva, Bachlota Gemura Lishmor Apiv Mikan Laba Betara Ulifnei 19b and the Da Kol Dibur VeDibur Shmotzi Mipiv, before saying anything, Lachshov Liponein Ha'im Ein Vahem Shum Gnai VeChisaron UPtichut. This is, aside from Bitui Satayim, this is an amazing thing to work on in Aser Simei Tshuva. To be a little bit more mindful, and every person on the continuum where they're holding, of what comes out of our mouths. Again, when I'm talking to somebody, do they really need to say this? What is the purpose of saying this? Asking myself, will it make this person feel bad? If I need to say it, how can I say it in a way that's going to be a little bit more gentler? How can I say it in a way that's going to build the person and not destroy the person? What words are coming out of my mouth? Are they refined words? Are they slang words? Are they words of the street? We know how careful the Chumash is by the story of the Mabel. And goes out of its way, 8 extra letters, and the animals that weren't pure, instead of using the word impure, how careful the Chumash is. Or Lar Barsa, the light of the 14th, and not saying, you know, the night of. All of these Gemaras, all of these Psukim, are here to teach us a lesson. Refinement of speech, Bitui Svatayim, and particularly Bitui Svatayim, the words that just roll out of our mouths. What words come out? What slang comes out? What inappropriate words come out? What inappropriate expressions come out? And refining one's speech has that effect, like the chicken and the egg, the outer and the inner, and the inner and the outer. It makes me a more refined person. Anshe Kodesh Tiyunli makes me a holier person. Makes me a person who's aware of the Kedusha, of the holiness within me, and that I use it appropriately. As Rabbi Tatz speaks about in Source 21, speech is the basic tool of creation and revelation, and the ability to speak is the hallmark of the human. Misuse of this central gift is particularly devastating. The first sin ever committed was brought about by improper speech, the serpent's devious words to the unsuspecting Chava. In that immoral, treacherous temptation lay all the dangers that misused speech can hold. And he notes that the world is full of empty words. The nature of modern media is that there's virtually no limit to the amount of words which are spewed out constantly, and our society is inundated with talk. But it seems that the more words that are poured out, the less meaning they convey. We have plenty of words, but very little communication. And our obligation here is to yield to that temptation, which is both utterly frivolous and yet very high indeed. Our obligation is to make every word count. Every word is precious. Every word is the spark of the fire of one's depth, which can be used to ignite endless fire of life and spirit. And using each word thus is the avenue to that higher world, which is all light. So, my friends, what we've seen so far, overview, that's Bitui Svatayim, the outer, the lips which are red, reflect the inner part of us which is red, which is the inner and the outer are totally in sync together. How careful we have to be, not just to talk, but to refine our speech and to know when to be silent. There's a gift of silence. Speech is so often misused. Talk, 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 talk. People talk all day, but they're not really talking. They're not communicating. They're not saying anything. Bitui Svatayim, when we talk, we have to ask ourselves, is our talk meaningful? Do we have responsibility with our talk? And we've spoken about so far two areas that we speak about in the Achet Shechatanim. One, have I hurt people with my lips? Again, it's under other categories as well of Ovna'ah. Have I been very sharp? Have I been very critical? Have I just everything that I say is, you never do this right. Why can't you do this right? And it's also to our children when we're very, very sharp with them, very critical. Pick this up, do this, do that, without with the love, without the building. That is one area that that we have to focus in on and be aware of. And the second is our speech in general. What type of words come out of our mouth? What type of person are we? What type of slang comes out of our mouth? What words do we use to describe things? Do we have this refinement of speech that it's crystal clear, like beautiful water? And that's the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, is a time of inner reflection. To even once a day, to stop before I say something, whether it's to another person or even I say something out loud. What does my speech look like? To listen to my speech and to be able to be a little bit more sensitive to the words that I use. That's idea one and two. Now let's work on idea number three, which was quoted in both of the Sfarim, and that is oath, shvuos, making an oath, making a promise. And this is something that sometimes we enter into without even thinking. And as Rav Scheinman points out in Oral Moshe, Ha'omer b'fiv chamor minosei maisa, what you say with your mouth is sometimes even more severe than what you do with an action. Because v'tam b'davar zehu in the bracket, l'fi shi'isrono shel adam ha'balei chayim hi b'koach ha'dibur, that which makes us unique over the animal kingdom is the power of speech. And he notes here that this is why when a person isn't careful with their speech, you lowered yourself even lower than the animals. Rabbi Cohen again in V-Doing 25, showing oneself up through mindless speech is just one manifestation between Svatayim, which includes failing to follow up on vows, making promises without any commitment, such as promising money to Stucca and not paying. We must be very careful what we say because we must stand behind our promises. And here, sometimes we make very light of it. So sometimes you make a pledge to a Stucca organization. You know, person over the Yamim Noraim buys, maybe their husband, they buy an aliyah, buy a kibbutz for their husband, right? And you make you say, I'll pay 1,000 shekels or $500. So right away, you should pay that money. But it could even be a second organization. Second organization calls you up and you say, okay, I'll send you in a check for $18. Well, do you send the check in for $18? Right? When you say that you'll send in a check, that's like a neder. That's like a promise. And you have to hold by it. And then you have, on another level, which we also are a little bit flippant about, is, I promise you I'll give you this tomorrow. Okay, so then you have to give them to them tomorrow. You said you promised, right? I didn't really mean I promised. I meant, you know, it's a way of speaking. That's exactly what we're talking about. Bitui Svatayim, it's a way of speaking. You said you'll promise, you said you'll do, so you need to do. You have to be careful of what comes out of our mouths. I remember teaching this to my kids when they were very young, as young babysitters. When they were young and they used to babysit, maybe that would make more sense in English. I say, if you promise a kid, you know, if you go to sleep, I'll bring you stickers tomorrow, or I'll whatever. So you need to come back the next day and bring stickers. Don't say, well, it's a kid, they won't remember. First of all, kids remember everything. And second of all, whatever you pledge to, you have to keep. It doesn't matter if they're 3 years old or 30 years old. This is holding by what we say. And this is so, so fundamental and so crucial that we have to hold by our words and be careful the way we say it. So, you know, I see this with my kids where I'll say, can you help me with something? And they say, you know, I'll get to it tomorrow, bli neder, or I'll do it, bli neder. Like, they're very careful of putting in this bli neder, right? I'm not making any commitment. I'm not making any promises. Why? Because you say, I'll do it, means you have to do it. And you have to be careful what we say and how we say it. So there's level of commitment that we have to be very careful about. And again, bitui svatayim, we are so flippant to say, oh, I promise you I'll give you. Oh, I'll promise you I'll come. Be careful what we say, because those are the things that we have to carry through. Now, it's fascinating. Mostly Omoshe in Source 23, as well as the Ori V'Yishi, the Talmud Rebbe in 26, point out, how do we begin our Yom Kippur? We begin with something which seemingly makes no sense, and there's a lot of ink spilled on this. We begin and we call the evening Kol Nidre. What is Kol Nidre, right? People come in for Kol Nidre. It's like the moment. Like, what is Kol Nidre? It's Kol Nidarim. All the vows that I have made on myself over this year should be, disavowed. Should be, cleared. So this is the way I begin Kol Nidre. And the answer is yes. Because vows are such an important aspect. Because it represents our speech. It represents who we are. And we begin Yom Kippur this way. As the Talmud Rebbe points out in source number 26, he says, so much of our lives is caught up in speech. I said, I'll do this, I'll do that. And we misuse our speech in so many areas. We first have to clear our speech. It's almost like symbolically why we rinse out our mouths in the morning. We want to have a pure mouth to be able to daven, right? Also, if I'm about to use Yom Kippur as 25 hours to daven to Hashem, I got to make sure that my mouth is clean. So we don't rinse out our mouths necessarily, but what we do is we clean off the slate of our mouth. Anything that we said, any commitments that we made, let it be null and void, because how can I use my mouth to beseech Hashem for life when I've taken that very instrument of the mouth and I've misused it? And I made promises that I haven't followed through with. And I made commitments that I haven't followed through with. So this is why, one of the reasons we begin the night of Kol Nidre in this way. And we have to recognize the power of our mouths. Rav Meisler brings such a beautiful idea, such a gewaltic idea. Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Kechut Hashani Sifsosayach, like the red string are your lips. So the way Chazal understand this, as we know that the red string was used on Yom Kippur, that part of it was tied on the base of Mikdash, and part of it was tied on the animal that was went Lazazel over the cliff, and that when the animal went over the cliff, so then the red string in the base of Mikdash, which Klai Yisrael were holding, turned white. So we see here that this was a sign that we were forgiven. So zeh chut katan shabar greira v'im kol zeh bechut katan zeh yatelui kol lo mokulam. Kechut hashani sifsosayich, this kechut hashani, this red string, the world rested on this red string. This was a sign and indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven the sins of Klal Yisrael. Just like this little red string was the indication that the world rested on it for forgiveness, so too sifsosayich. Chmo chen im sifsotav shel adam shebidurim haktanim v'apshutim shel hadam. Chas v'shalom osem ma'pechok dalo b'chol ha'mol, arei ze osem ma'pechok dalo b'chol ha'mol lomos b'vchina borei olamos u'machrivan v'ze k'chur ha'shani sifsotayich b'diyuk k'mo k'chur ha'shani. Just like that little red string, the world was held in abeyance by this, so too our mouths. Worlds are either built or destroyed through the words of our mouths. We have to realize that our mouths, the red of our lips, is very much like this red string that we carry worlds. At kol alamot manhiga adam gibarav, we are an olam katan, a mini world, and we rule this world through our speech. And we have to recognize that v'chol atzlachato v'atido b'olam hazeh b'olam haba tulim kviti barav. Our success in this world and the next world are really dependent on our speech and how careful we have to be with what we say. You know, it's the famous maisa, and again, I don't remember the details of the maisa, but the general point of the story is clear. Of a family, a couple that were married for over 20 years without children and were destroyed, doctor to doctor, school to school. And finally, they did this cheshbon hanefesh. Was there something that they said to somebody or did to somebody? Very often when a person is in this state where it doesn't seem to make any sense, is there a kitrug? Is there an accusatory force somewhere in this world that's holding them back from bracha? So the man thought back, and he thought back to his days in yeshiva, and he remembered one time that he was learning Ben Hasdarim between the main times of learning, and there was a cleaning lady who brought her kids to clean, and her kids were making a racket. So he asked her, you know, could you just quiet your kids down or something? Again, going back to what we were saying, how you say something, what tone you say it. And the cleaning woman made a comment like, you should never know of screaming kids or something. And it was like a curse that he would never have kids. And he went back to that comment and went back and found this cleaning woman who was at that time an older elder lady. And he asked her for forgiveness. And she forgave him. It was all maisa. But she forgave him and how hurt she was. And they were so good to have a child. Right, a comment that she made out of anger, out of being upset, right? What was she supposed to do with her kids? She had no one to take care of them, whatever the situation was. And, you know, this boy should have been a little bit more Dani Lukavskot. And what an effect it has. Over 20 years of not having children because of one statement. So we see so much from this story. Sometimes we say something, And that creates a kitra, that creates an accusatory force. What an obligation that we have to be so careful not to curse somebody, not to say things that are inappropriate, and not to say something that's going to cause somebody to say something against me that's going to create this kitra. These are all aspects of bitui shvatayim. You know, again, this cleaning woman probably said it without even thinking. That was just bitui shvatayim, what came to her lips. And it creates a reality in heaven. Which brings us to, in 31, 32, and 33, another aspect of Bitui Shvatayim, of Al Yiftach Piv LaTzatan, which the Gemara says one should never give Satan an opening. Don't say something that the Satan can then just grab. And here Rav Dessler speaks about in 31 and 33, that if a person is so connected to life, and so connected to the area of Kedusha, they're not going to have that Bitui Shvatayim. They're not going to have this being just saying things with the mouth without thinking it through. And let's give examples of people say, you didn't like what I say? Okay, so just shoot me. You know, just shoot you? Whatever. People say things that are just like brainless. Bitui Shvatayim. And if we say, don't open a mouth to the Satan. Don't say things that gives the Satan a foothold into your life. Be so careful what comes out of your mouth. Be so careful what comes out of your mouth. Be so careful what comes out of when you're talking to other people, or even yourself, the language that comes out, because it creates a reality. And that's why we have the kids leave the shul in Yisker. We don't want them, you know, God forbid, to even make mention of Yisker when their parents are still alive. How careful we are with the words that come out of our mouth, and we have to be careful with the expressions, without being so flippant about what we say. So that's another area. So we've spoken about, just to make sure we're on the same page, the smorgasbord in front of us. We have one dish, which is called being careful how I speak to others, even when I have to criticize them. Even when it's appropriate to say what I say, how I say it is so fundamental. We have another dish on the table called nivol peh, right? That's the tongue, right? Be careful what words come of our mouth, what slang comes out of our mouth. We don't want to impurify our mouths with just words that are inappropriate, with words that are street language. Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad. That was the second idea that we spoke about. Then we spoke about the idea of the nedarim, making vows, making promises, that when I say something, I promise you I'll do. So you have to hold by it, and you have to be careful that you do what you say you're going to do, and not just be, you know, oh, I didn't really mean it. Oh, you know, I was just saying it. No, when you say something, it creates a reality, and you have to live by that reality. The Kol Nidre, that's how we begin the Yom Kippur night. And the final thing we've just done is idea number 4, is Al Tiftach Pe'el Satan. Don't open your mouth to the Satan. Don't say anything. Okay, you know, we say, just break a leg. Right? Hello? Like, these expressions are just inappropriate. And these have to be taken out of our lexicon. And again, if this resonates with us, great. If not, great. Let's move to the next, which we've spoken about 2 years ago, so I'll just make mention very quickly now. The Shulchan Aruch 33 states that when a person talks in a synagogue during Chazarat HaShas while the Chazan is repeating Shemon Esrei, it's such a great transgression that Gadol Avino Minaso, his sin is too great to bear. In other words, his sin is too great to be forgiven, a burden too heavy for God to carry, so to speak. And he brings down here that the Tosfos Yontov had a dream to which he's told the reason that the calamity of Tach V'Tach, which was like the Kozak pogroms for 2 years, which before the Holocaust was probably, you know, up in line with the Holocaust level, was because people used to talk in shul. And there's the Mishmerach, that's in fact said, and now it's become much more popular to say, of people who don't talk in shul. And again, if you're going to have a calamity, and you're going to come into shul and daven to Hashem, you have neutralized the most potent defense weapon in the Jewish armory, 35 in the asterisk, which is prayer. And then when calamities loom, heaven forbid, when we suddenly realize we're in a crisis situation, we turn to God with faith and sincerity, it's too late, the power of prayer has been fortified, and we are left defenseless. And if we really believe that by your great kindness, 36, I do come into your house, we'd appreciate all the wonderful opportunities God has given us to come close to Him, the deepest gratitude. And that's during the 10 days of Tshuva. We would be beside ourselves with joy that Hashem has given us the opportunity to seek Him out when He can't be reached. Be so careful not to talk in shul. And again, there are so many stories, and very recent story, of people, lo aleinu, who have been very, very sick. We're talking about who really, doctors have given up hope. And people have taken on as a community not to talk in shul in the schus of this person, and there have been miraculous recoveries, story after story. It's a tremendous schus to be able to come into shul, and as soon as you walk in, not to say a word. And to train oneself and to train one's children this way, that we do not speak in davening, we don't speak in Kriyas HaTorah, we don't speak in Chazarat HaShas, we just don't talk. This is a place of Kedusha. This is a place that we focus in on just Ribbono Shel Olam. And again, it's going back to, do we have the ability to be silent? To be able to have control of speech is to control not only what we say, it's also when we say it, and the ability not to speak. Trust me, my friends, it is possible not to talk for 3 hours and use that time to daven. It has been proven that people have been successful in doing this. And you too can try this. And again, it affects our tefillah. It makes our tefillah into a different tefillah. It also enables that relationship with Hashem to be that private relationship, and that shul is not just a place for social hour. That's the kiddush afterwards. 37 and 38, the Tasha Rebbe looks at the flip side. And that is when I appreciate shul, I can come to appreciate davening. And Siach Siftoteinu is also very much about using our speech to daven with kavana. Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, Shav Shuva of Torah, how? Kui Machem Torim. How do you return to Hashem? Take words. Take the words, Imru Elav, speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kivan sheikar avoda b'mim elu hi larbo b'tfilah. Since this is the Aser Simei Tshuva is about Tshuva, Tshvila, Tzaka, L'chein Olenu L'Bronen K'sa B'ed Azon, Ayach Nira Matzavein B'Avadat Tzvila B'Chol Yimar Hashanah. How does our Tzvila look during the year? And is it that we say, you know what, I'm so tired, I can't daven, I can't focus? Or are we able to garner up our strength and say, this is the most beautiful thing. When you're doing something you love, you don't get tired. People don't get tired of counting money or jewels. Trust me. Everyone is special. Every word of tefillah is a jewel. Every word of tefillah is so powerful. I remember once a student of mine, an adult student, who called me up, and she said, you'll never believe this, Shira. I sat for a few hours this morning, and I said every single word of davening. And I said it, and I cherished it. She said, davening is the most beautiful thing in the world. That's what we should feel. So we don't have the 3 hours to do this every day, but we need to do it once in a while just to sit and think about the words, and think about what we're saying, and how beautiful they are, and become inspired. Tefillah is inspiring. David HaMelech, Tehillim, is inspiring. And this is part of Siach Sivsoteinu, that we daven, and we don't focus on what we daven. Part of this, just to take a peek at 44 as well, is to say brachos, and not to be able to have a kavana in the brachos, the Chaya Adam, third line of Amotzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. You say Hashem's name in vain, you just say the bracha. Over a mitzvah tashay et Hashem lokecha tirah. You're over on a mitzvah of having awe of Hashem. And be able to recognize that every bracha we say, Kim b'derach shevach u'bracha, mash v'chuyav, aval lo levatala. Say it with meaning and not just coming out of your mouth. Your entire body should tremble when you say Hashem's name, any names of Hashem. So how careful we have to be, and that's part of the Al-Chayt that we began with, Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, Mivarech Mitpalo B'li Kavana. Part of Siv Sotenu, and I think all of us, between Sfatayim, and which I think all of us, we did Siv Sotenu, the same idea, between Sfatayim, that's another overlap. And I think all of us can relate to this. Between Sfatayim, we just say the words. And we say Hashem's name. And we don't even realize we're talking to Baruch Shalom. The brach of Shahakol, just to think about it. Shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. It can allow a person to have tremendous emunah for the entire day. Everything comes about because this is the word of God. And everything is so picture perfect in our lives. Every single thing that happens is exactly the way Hashem wants it to happen. How careful we have to be with what comes out of our mouths, brachos, davening. A, not to talk in shul, and B, to utilize the davening as real connection and real commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, the story that I've told before, where I remember when my daughter was around 10, and I was davening mincha, and I took three steps back, three steps forward, Aleinu, and she was just sitting there watching me. And she said, is that it? And I'm like, what did I miss? She says, well, this is 10. When I take three steps back, I said, I miss you, Ribbono Shel Olam. I just was talking to you. So I say a Kapitel Tehillim before I take three steps forward. There's a difference thinking you're talking to God or actually talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Bitui Sfatayim that we actually speak to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Final two ideas, and then we'll sum up, my friends. Shem Shemaim Shagur Befiv. Imirtz Hashem, I'll see you tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem. We write Beish Sabbath Dalet on the top of a letter. Notes Rav Wolbeis, verse 39. Yes, this was something that was known about Yosef HaTzadik. Madrigato in the asterisk, Shem Yosef HaTzadik, Hishikash Ra'at, Bezrat Hashem Bechush. He saw everything in real. He realized that everything was based on Hashem. And that's why he said, Mirtz Hashem. Zaloi Tami Rabbi Ovadi, just didn't say it. El Riyat Ezrat Hashem. He saw it. He experienced it. Riyava Karabu Rashim Asim Tulim Beretzon Hashem. Hura Avir Gish Bashlecha. He felt Ashkach of Hashem. Then Shem Shemayim Shagur Bafi. However, when we say Mirtz Hashem, we don't even feel that this is what Hashem wants. We don't even feel the help of Hashem. We write Bezrat Hashem without even paying attention to what we write in the letter. We write it out of habit. Again, it's external, from the mouth out. We don't see Hashem so, we don't even focus in on it. As Rav Abba Grossbard once said to him when they were walking together in the streets, look, entire people walking around, and not one of them thinks about Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how people work. Hakol kehelgo, they forget Hashem, they forget even that there is Hashem, that they're even surprised if they think about Hashem. We have to be conscious. When we say Emirtz Hashem, or we write Emirtz Hashem, pause and stop. Yeah, there's so many things that could happen that could prevent me from doing this. It is Emirtz Hashem. It is Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Hashem has to open my mouth, otherwise my lips can't open. I can't function. This is all what it's about. This is the bottom line. This then leads us to the final one of our survey here. We've spoken about how careful we have to be. We've spoken about our nivul peh, the words that come after out of our mouth, carefully when we speak to people. We've spoken about making sure that we just don't say, I promise, I swear, the kol nidre. We've spoken about being able to not be potap piv l'satan, not talking during davening, using davening appropriately, and feeling this connection to Hashem, emir Hashem, bezrat Hashem, which then leads us to Omer Dover B'Shem Omre, Makir HaMetzio Shem Silo Borei, making sure, Mishim Inavos, Perek Vav, teaches us to say something in the name of the one who says it. And you see this in the Gemara, Amar Rav Humna, Amar Rav, Amar, it says, lists all the name of the people. Anyone who says something in the name of the person who said it, brings the Geula to the world. And as Rav Noach Weinberg points out in the 48 Ways, Talmud goes to great length to trace the intellectual lineage of any idea, so-and-so, said name so-and-so, said name so-and-so. Why do people have a hard time acknowledging that someone else is source of idea? We all crave independence and self-respect. Taking credit gives us a veneer of status, while intellectual depth to others seem to threaten that status. We don't like to think that we weren't smart enough to figure it out ourselves. My friends, we have to get beyond this insecurity, and it goes one step further, says about Nat Chaim at 42. When I recognize and I'm able to say, oh, I heard this idea from so-and-so, or I read this idea in such-and-such book, that intellectual honesty enables me in all areas of my life to give credit where credit is due. I didn't come up with this idea. So-and-so told me. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu inspired me with this. I don't take credit for myself, which leads me to humility. So bitui svatayim, it's so easy to say, yeah, wasn't that a brilliant idea? And not to be able to really focus in on where credit is due, and to realize, biroto ki arosh shel kol davar hanasa ba'olam humi shehu amar vayhi. Really? Omer dvar b'shem omro, the double underline in 42, is to recognize that everything that I have in this world is a gift from God. And it's everything that He says comes from Him. And that realization, that consciousness, enables me to be much clearer on what I say. To sum up, back to Rav Cohn's Sefer on Vidui, how can we avoid Bitui Svatayim? Number one is Tefillah. Hashem Svas Lai Tiftach. Hashem, open my lips. Help me daven so my prayer is acceptable, and help me use my lips correctly while speaking to other people. We must always bear Tefillah in mind. It's crucial for obtaining Heaven's help in whatever area we're trying to improve. One of the casualties of today's world culture is the enormous quality of words filling social media, with the internet, etc., that are churned out with any thought behind them. Such words are cheap, they lack any value. Words that have, in old-fashioned letters, especially precious, because words that have been carefully chosen contain special depth and meaning. Today's society doesn't value the preciousness of either the spoken or the written word. And he ends, which we'll end with in 46 and 47, an idea from the Chafetz Chaim. Well, there's something very unique about speech. In most areas of our lives, we need to concentrate. So let's say you want to bang a nail into the wall to hang up a picture. So you put the nail in the wall and you bang with a hammer. So you have to focus, because if you don't focus, the thumb becomes the nail, and then you've nailed more than one thing, or you haven't nailed the right thing. So we have to focus. And most of the things that we do in life take a certain level of consciousness, even driving, which we do almost automatically, there is a level of awareness that we have to have, hopefully. Speech is one of those areas that I talk. I don't start, you know, I was in speech therapy for most of my childhood, right? So you know, put your tongue on the top of your lips, mouth, then you move your lips in this way. We don't speak that way, right? In speech therapy you do. But we just talk. We don't even realize how many different parts of our mouths we have to move in how many different ways, unless you've been in speech therapy or a speech therapist. You see that speech is really complicated. But when I open my mouth, I just talk. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Hashem did that as a favor. Why? So I don't focus in on the act of speech, so that I can use my mind to focus in on what I'm saying. And that's the gift of Rebbe Moshe Lodom. And that's why when I speak, I have to realize Hashem did me a favor. I'm not forming every letter from the different parts of my mouth. I'm just opening my mouth and speaking in order to enable me to be free to then ask myself, well, what is coming out of my lips? How am I utilizing my mouth correctly? And my friends, that is over the 10 viduyim speech takes up a major role. We focused in on a little bit of Bitui Svatayim, which again is covered in other areas of speech as well. The overall focus that we need to have in the Vidui is that speech reflects the inner part of us. It's our Tzura Sa'adam. It is our core as a Tzelem Elokim, as a divine image, and how careful we have to use our speech to be able to use it for elevation, to be a godlike person, so that I, as an individual, am part of that Anche Kodesh Tiyunli, I'm part of that holy nation, and my interactions with others will be with holiness, and my interaction with Ribono Salolo, my Tefillah, my Brachas, will be with concentrated focus and being able to say the Shem Shamayim, the name of Hashem, with the holiness that it deserves. Wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova, a good Gabet Shur.